Oh, no. Anybody there?
Hello, this is Malka.
Okay, he's not on yet.
No, ma'am, he's not on yet.
Okay. Do you know anybody that rents freezers?
That rents freezers?
Yeah, I need another freezer for about a month with trying to do all this cooking ahead of time. So, my guests from Israel that are coming for 3 weeks, I can't, it's just too hard on me to cook every day, every day. And what I'm trying to do is cook partial meals. Then it makes it a little bit easier because I'll have to have a meal every day for them. Breakfast is no problem, that's easy. And they'll be gone most of the day, but then they'll come back at night or evening for an evening meal. And he's so strict, kosher, he won't eat out anywhere. And my
I'm not
freezer is full.
How about the freezer at the synagogue? How about over at the Temple Sinai? Can you use their freezer?
Well, they probably still have all their corned beef stuff in there. I haven't checked. But that's a 20-minute drive for me, so I have to go get it and come back.
You can look at like Aaron's Rentals. Yeah, there's places that rent. I know they rent refrigerators and washers and dryers and stuff like that. Aaron's.
Yeah.
You
Aaron.
might want to look. I don't
Well,
know if there's one.
I did a search on freezers for rent in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I got nothing.
Well, I know there's some in Texas now. I'm not quite sure about Louisiana, but just look up furniture rentals or let's see, how would you look that up? I can try and find something, but I'm not sure. I know it's Aaron's. I know I've seen that in Orange
Okay.
and
Well, Tony was
Beaumont.
going to check tomorrow. I'd need it about a month because they're going to be here 3 weeks.
Right, they
And
do rent a lot of stuff like that because you have contractors that come in and work for like 6 months, and they only want to furnish their apartment for that long, so they rent all of that stuff,
yeah.
for them to live in. So you
Well,
might want
Tony's
to
going to
try that
check
out.
for me. He said, well, tomorrow, with it being Memorial Day, it's probably not a good day to look. But,
Yeah.
He said he'd see what he'll do Monday and Tuesday, check for me. So.
Right.
I sure get these assignments where I have to cook kosher food for very kosher people.
I know, right?
Oh, it's happened to me now that 10 times.
Wow.
And it used to be easy, but it's getting hard for me. You know, it's really hard for me now. Much harder.
Yeah, to prepare,
so
well, 3 weeks.
With joy.
There you go. Always with joy.
Yeah.
I mean, I can look around too and kind of check for you, but I know, and even some of the furniture places will, some, not all, will rent.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you, you might find where they'll let you rent it and bring it, you know, return it. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was one in Orange at one time that did that, and but I don't know if they still do that or not.
Yeah. Maybe a refrigerator with a top freezer, you know.
Yeah.
See,
I mean, I've got...
So that's my problem. I'm not used to cooking meat. And I've bought all this chicken and ground meat, and that filled up my freezer, along with a hollow, you know. And I still don't have enough hollow. But because they'll be here at least 3 Shabbats. And then I have to do the hot dog buns and I have to do the hamburger buns because there aren't any available.
Right.
So hot dog buns, I got those, but I have to do the hamburger buns. So all of that, you know, has to be well wrapped and takes up room because I have to put everything, you know, in Ziploc bags and then in a plastic container.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's the only places I know of. And I can check the one in Orange. I think that one's reopened. I'm not sure. You know, with that flood, a lot of them are still trying to come back from that.
Let me see what Tony's able to check for me this week. And I'll go from there. What time is it? It's 11 minutes.
That's right.
Are we the only two?
I think so. I haven't heard anybody else come on.
Okay. Let's give him 3 more minutes. It'll be 15 after. He usually waits 10. So. Oh, here we go.
Angela.
Was that Brandy?
That's
Brandy.
That's me. Okay, he hasn't come on, Brandy.
Okay.
We're going to give him 3 more minutes.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I apologize for being late.
That's okay.
We forgive you.
I believe. Thank you. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. And when the landing page opens up for the advanced reincarnation classes, we are at class 21 A. And when that opens up, it's at Male and Female Mitzvahs, Chapter 17, Section 3. I believe that is where we are. Anybody have a different information?
I thought we were on the second handout that had to do with the numbers, and then we would have gone on. But
yes,
I have it. I have my papers open to Male and Female Mitzvah Chapter 17. Let me see if it's the other side.
No, I still am working on the spreadsheet. I don't have a way to easily present a spreadsheet on the website.
Okay.
And I have a disagreement with over the number of components, and I haven't really resolved that yet.
Okay. Did you say chapter 17, section 3?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's where I had what I had next, so that would be it.
Okay.
You're correct.
Which class do we go? Which class do we go to? Is it 21 or 22?
It's 21A.
Okay.
21 part 2.
Okay.
If I was just consistent in my numbering and my lettering, it would be easier, but somehow I'm never consistent on that area. So, this is a commentary that I'm adding. Male and Female Mitzvahs, Chapter 17, Section 3. I am adding, this section is continuing the discussion about the mitzvot connected to the shoulder. Remember, 11 positive and 15 negative mitzvot. Both 11 and 15 relate to the tetragrammaton. Although one might consider the negative mitzvot should be feminine when they are in reverse order, this will be discussed. There is also very little comments by Rabbi Auerbach in this section. The 10 negative mitzvahs hinted to by the letter Yud are masculine, and the 5 remaining hinted to by the letter He are feminine. Yud and He are male and female relative to each other. The reason for this is that Yud-Heh are male and female relative to each other. Being the first two letters of the name, they are called the upper unification. Even though the negative mitzvot are primarily feminine, male and female aspects exist within and relative to themselves in their own infrastructure. And I am adding, it is really an important practice for one to realize that everything that they perceive as fixed is always relative to something else. Just because we call something male relative to something else does not mean that it is essentially male. Broaden your perspectives and delve into why it is being related to that something else. The 6 positive mitzvahs alluded to by the letter Vav are masculine, whereas the 5 alluded to by the last He are feminine. The same relationship between Yud He above is founded by Vav He below in the lower unification. I did not receive from my teacher knowledge of what the 10 masculine negative mitzvahs are, but these are the 5 remaining feminine mitzvahs referred to by the first He. 1. Do not murder, which includes not embarrassing a person in public, since when one is shamed, the red blood in his face goes and leaves him looking white. It is therefore considered a form of spilling blood. I am adding, certain aspects of Lashon Hara, evil speech, is considered murder as well. When someone impugns the reputation of a person, and that might lead to his loss of income, it is as if our speech created his death, according to the sages. Why do you think murder is considered feminine? Two, do not steal, a warning regarding things of monetary value. I am adding, why do you think stealing is considered feminine? Three, do not cook a kid meat in a mother's milk. I am adding, kosher food has to do with receiving, and that is considered feminine in Kabbalah. Does that help you answer the questions regarding the earlier two mitzvot? Number four, do not eat the forbidden fat. And I am adding, or too much fat, as in the average American diet. Five, do not eat blood. These are the six positive mitzvahs of the letter Vav. One, your brother shall live with you. This is like the mitzvah to give tzedakah, and it means to seek out a way to be able to live together without financial hardship. I am adding, you will not find this mitzvah on most lists of mitzvot. The reason given in the item above is actually not directly from the Arizal. Number two, eat tithes of the second year, Ma'aser Sheni, in Jerusalem. How can eating be considered a positive masculine mitzvah? Make a parapet for your roof. Four, procreate and till the land. Five, circumcise your son. Six, love your neighbor as yourself. I am adding, can you relate to love as a masculine mitzvah? The five feminine positive mitzvot alluded to by the final hey are lend to a poor person, and the way to recall this I need to mute the phones because of the background noise. If you have a question, please call in. Not fucking book. Please press *6 to unmute your phone. The five feminine positive mitzvot alluded to by the final hey are: one, lend to a poor person, and the way to recall this is if you lend money to my people, don't read im. If, rather mean, read aim, mother. Hey is the maternal letter, thus this mitzvah associates with it. Two, tzitzit, and included in this is to put it on the shoulder, for as we mentioned, the root of this particular soul, or this particular mitzvah, was from the shoulder. I am adding, the mitzvah of tzitzit is not complete unless it is first laid on the right shoulder. Most women are not taught this, even if they choose to wear a tzitzit or a talit. Number three, send away the mother bird. And your mother reminder is, surely send away the mother bird. 4, keep the Shemitah year. 5, remember the Exodus from Egypt. A person who does not learn Torah blemishes the Sefirah Seferet. A person who does not learn Torah blemishes the Sefirah Seferet, since in each of the four worlds, Absolut, Ria, Yetzira, and Asiya, Torah is on the level of Tiferet. There are four levels, and their mnemonic is Pardes, for Peshat, Remes, Drash, and Sod. A person who merits to enter the depths of these four levels merits in the end to all of the levels. And with respect to him, it says, he will do special things for one who waits for him. This verse is referring to the pleasures of the world that is coming. However, the one who does not want to learn Torah, even the simple meaning of the verses blemishes Tiferet of Asiyah. One who does not wish to pursue proofs for a Torah matter, as in the sense of the remiss, the hints, blemishes the Tiferet of Yetzirah. One who does not learn the exegetical teachings of the Torah, the drash, blemishes the Tiferet of Briyah. And one who does not learn the mysteries of Torah, the Sod, blemishes the Tiferet of Atzilut. These high levels all depend upon little man below. When one learns, he draws to them nourishing, sustaining light. If not, they are left lacking. Learning Torah is not a mental exercise. It is not a way of amassing data. It is a spiritual process that illuminates the self and all the worlds dependent upon it, each according to his soul root. That is the end of the section. We will now go on to the class number 22, but I will open it up for questions. If you have a question, please unmute your phones by pressing star 6. So class 22 is for chapter 18, section 1. And you'll need to scroll down a quarter of an inch or so. Levels Within Levels, Chapter 18, Section 1. We have already discussed the four worlds and the order of Atzilut, Briyah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Each world contains its own set of four. And this goes on ad infinitum, to infinity. Each world contains its own set of four. For example, within the world of Atzilut, called Abba, Abba is called Atzilut, Ima is called Briah, Zeranpin is called Yetzirah, and the Nukva is called Asiyah. And this is the same in each world. So you can have an Atzilut of Atzilut, a Briah of Atzilut, a Zeranpin of Atzilut, or a Yetzirah of Atzilut, and you can have a Malchut or a Nukva of Asiyah. Excuse me, of Atzilut. Each world has its own 10 sephirot that divide into their respective parts of theme. When looking at the whole picture relative to each other, Atzilut expresses the partsuf of Abba, Bria of Ima, Zerantin of Yetzira, and Nukva of Asiya. However, the level of Arikantin is quite hidden and not referred to. It draws from Keter, the higher Sephirah, which is too lofty to be revealed. Likewise, Adam Kadmon and Yehidah, the corresponding world and soul level, are hidden and rarely even mentioned. Nishamot come from the level of Atzilut. Ruchin, Kadishin, holy spirits come from the level of Briah. Standard angels from the level of Yetzirah, and Ofanim, the wheel angels, come from the level of Asiya. Man below contains all the worlds, and in the beginning he receives the Nefesh of Asiya. If he does not merit the Ruach, the rung above, because of a transgression that blemished his Nefesh, and as a result of his actions, he entered the Klipot, then they say to him, the fly preceded you in creation. It was made on day 5, man on day 6, so as to keep man ever humble. And moreover, it is better than you. The fly is better than man. This is because the fly does not do anything to blemish the above and does not enter the Klipot. Just as the fly is a pest to man, so is a man a nuisance to the world when he sins. That is an unwritten commentary. That's a very interesting statement that people need to contemplate. Just as a fly is a pest to man, so is a man a nuisance to the world when he sins. Transgression existentially places the soul in the realm of the Sitra Achra, the other side. Conversely, one who fulfills God's will automatically ascends to attain higher soul levels. However, if he does not sin or blemish his nefesh, then he will be on the level of the Ofanim, the wheel angels. Ofanim is the plural form of Ofan, which means wheel. These angels are so called because they are the lowest level in the divine chariot. Through them, the higher angels act. They are thus to the chariot as wheels. The divine chariot is the spiritual mechanism that God uses to transmit his will to the universe. The nefesh, like the ofanim, are like the wheels of one's being. The underlying reasons behind the actions are not revealed to the wheel. Wheels are steered. The driver decides and does the steering. The Ruach is the driver's seat. One who nullifies himself and fulfills God's will without understanding merits a Ruach and graduates to the level of knowing why God does through him what he does. Hold on one second. Let's see, where was I? will merit that Ruach and graduates to the level of knowing why God does through him what he does, knowing why God is directing him to do certain things. When one realizes that they say words to other people, both to hear the words to them from themselves, or to hear the words themselves, but also they're saying those words because Hashem has directed those words to be given to that person to hear from that person, from the person we are discussing. We see in many places from the Zohar and the Ari that everyone is supposed to strive to attain a Ruach, which means everyone is supposed to strive to know why they are a messenger from Hashem to another person. A person might only merit his nefesh, and yet he can be more important and special than one who already has his Ruach. That is the nefesh, or even the Ruach of the general Ruach. This is because, as we have explained, each world incorporates four levels, and then each, the nefesh of Asiyah, has the levels of nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, and then also the Neshama. Thus, the four levels of Asiyah are only called nefesh in a general way. Hence, if the person happens to be from the Neshama of Asiyah and has begun rectification, then the level of the Neshama of the general Ruach of Yetzirah will shine within him. Since he is from the level of the Neshama, it is that level in every world that he must rectify. Having already begun the rectification on one level, can activate the next level. This applies even though it has yet to become completely enclosed within him. For as we have already taught, it is impossible for the Ruach of Yetzirah to be completely enclosed in a person until he has rectified the nefesh in all portions of Asiyah completely. Nevertheless, it can shine within him. Striving for something above where one presently is grants a connecting cable to it. This provides light and energy to enjoy even before one actually fully attains it. In many modern spiritual discussions, people speak in terms of cables. They speak in terms of strings. And this is what is being described. Continuing to read. A person can be from the nefesh of Asiyah and also have a nefesh of Yetzirah, called the nefesh of Ruach, as mentioned. This person is certainly on a lower level than the first. My commentary. This is material that we have covered earlier, yet there are some new aspects being revealed. Each level of a world communicates with the same level in other worlds. This is very important spiritual law that is often not explained or utilized by individuals. We need to understand its use and its limitations. This will be explained later. This is the end of chapter 18, section 1. Are there any questions? And you are unmuted. I'm going to unmute you. Don't need to unmute anymore. Are there any questions about either of these two earlier sections? Okay. The next section is titled Righteous and Rectification. Chapter 18, Section 2. One who arises to Atzilut takes a quantum leap. A person can also achieve until the Nefesh of Atzilut, that is the Malkut of Atzilut. Atzilut is a world that is all divinity. One who arises to it takes a quantum leap. All divinity means there is no sin in the world of Atzilut. And even higher than all the levels of Atzilut can be attained. A human being of flesh and blood can ascend to ever infinitely higher levels of godliness. If a person merits Ruach from Yesod of Atzilut, then he will be called an Ish Elohim, a man of God, which is a phrase used in Psalms. The Torah uses this term in reference to Moses. According to how much one emulates Moses, one can merit to draw this the awesome level of Ruach of Zeranpin of Atzilut, and be a godly person on whom the Shekhinah rests and merit constant access to divine inspiration. The husband of the Matronus. This is a teaching of the Zohar. Regarding him, it says, a Sadiq rules upon the fear of Hashem. The rabbis learn from this that God decrees, and the Sadiq can nonetheless nullify it. The Sadiq decrees, and God fulfills it. God willingly grants the Sadiq this awesome power, measure for measure, because he ruled over his own desire and nullified himself to Hashem. Hashem, in turn, nullifies himself to the Sadiq. The root level through which the husband of the mistress gives to his wife is our present topic, Sefirah, Yesod of Atzilut. It is clothed primarily in Joseph. He, therefore, is the grand example of Tzaddik rules over the fear of Hashem. Thus we see that Pharaoh gave him rulership over all of Egypt. In addition, there were cases when Pharaoh himself was forced to listen to him and simply said, go to Joseph and do whatever he says. And I will remind people, as this is an unwritten commentary, that when God was speaking to Abraham, the chariot of the level of Chesed, God said to Abraham, do whatever Sarah says. Same language. So when Abraham reached the level of Chesed, his wife Sarah needed to be above him, and she became an Isha Elohim, a godly woman, a higher level than Abraham reached. The kingdom below is like the kingdom above. The kingdom below is like the kingdom above. A verse from the Talmud in the section of Brachot. Being a viceroy below gave Joseph status to lord it over the worlds above. Being second to Hashem alone. Everyone has a point of Joseph inside. Through this point, every person can actually nullify harsh decrees and perpetuate good ones. It all depends upon how much one merits to guard the covenant and the expression of Yesod in his body. For just as there is the righteous person who upon his death ascends in the secret of Mayim Nukvim, male waters, to the Malkut of Atzilut, there is also the righteous person who ascends in the secret of Mayim Dukrim, female waters. Secret of Mayim Nukvim is female waters and Mayim Dukrim is male waters. To the Yesod of Atzilut. The Zohar teaches that a person cleaves to Hashem in the afterlife the same way he cleaved to Hashem in this life. One whose primary service was from the Nefesh and thereby activated Malchut will thus trigger that level in his death. One who was more Yesod-oriented will awaken that which when he departs. Regarding this, you can understand what is written in the Zohar on the verse, light is sown for the righteous, a light that is already sown. A person progressively creates his quarters in the next world by his actions every day. We can look at the world as a garden. Everything anyone does is as a seed planted. These seeds take root and grow. When they come to the afterlife, you reap the fruits of what you did, for better or for worse. Good deeds plant light, bad actions sow this darkness. Good deeds plant light, bad actions sow darkness. Just as seeds grow into trees that continue to grow and produce fruit, so the repercussions of one's actions continue to produce light or darkness in the universe. This is one way of understanding the rabbi's statement, a mitzvah draws a mitzvah, a sin draws a sin. My commentary. Did you ask yourself the meaning of sowing darkness? What does it mean that one's actions continue to produce light or darkness in the universe? Remember, there is no disappearance in spirituality. How do we understand this section? Darkness means chaotic experiences in the future. Yet these chaotic experiences will come to an end after the Mashiach, won't they? This means that after the destruction of the temple, Zeron Pin became separated from the Nukva, and that the supernal gardener, which is Yesod, no longer plants his garden. One of the expressions of the Yesod of Malchut relationship is that of a gardener to his garden. Rather, his garden becomes planted by itself from the aftergrowths that went out and were planted in the beginning. They return and seed it. The mitzvah one mitzvahs one does emerges or energizes the soul to continue to hold on to God, to hold on to Hashem, even at a time when he is not able to do much. The aftergrowths are the souls of the righteous, which the gardener planted in the supernal garden before the destruction, after which they sprouted. After they return and later leave this world, they ascend in the secret of Mayim Nukdim to the Malchut of Atzilut, or in the secret of Mayim Dukrim to Yesod, the supernal gardener, and there is a replanting. This is the secret of the verse, light is sown for the righteous. In other words, lights that are already sown from the beginning in the supernal garden return on their own and become replanted, since there is no new seed after the destruction. The destruction of the Holy Temple disrupted the unification above. There is no new flow of seed, reproduction of spiritual lights. Accordingly, the process of the Sefirot redeeming and purifying the sparks and bringing creation to fulfillment is stifled during the time of exile. Nonetheless, righteous people can still maintain that process through their lives and subsequently their deaths. My commentary. The unity of Chochmah and Bina is continuous, and it continues to create souls and the flow of light called Shefa. The exile and the destruction of the temple has interrupted that flow into the physical world. Yet the flow continues to the righteous people and through them into the physical world. Since we live in a generation where the flow through the righteous people is limited by the number of righteous people in our generation, we need to become our own righteous people in order to receive the full goodness and Shefa from the upper worlds. And this is what the study of Kabbalah is all about. And this is why Kabbalah has been revealed to the masses. That's an additional comment that I just made. Does anyone have any questions? Let me unmute you again. Are there any questions? We are going to stop here. We're almost out of time. Go ahead. I heard a question started, but it wasn't clear, so please repeat it.
I didn't hear anything.
Okay. So there's two or three people on it at this time. So
right.
It was three. It's down. I believe
right.
It's down to two now.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll call the end of the class now. We're almost out of time anyway. And we'll pick up next week. At this location, Yabokan rectification.
Okay.
You have a beautiful week, please, and much shalom in your life.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Thank you.